Coming to Hong Kong was the right decision.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Are you thinking about taking that Qatar thing?
I mean, actually, I kind of wanted to talk about this as well. Not exactly with this Middle Eastern opportunity, let's say, which may or may not happen, right? Like, it's still super, super early. Oh, he's good. He's good. Okay.
Yeah.
But like, I kind of, okay. So they came back on it. I was kind of like looking at it and I thought, okay, well, there's obviously some pros, like presumably you get paid a whole bunch of money. There's some cons of like, you know, being away from family again, yada, yada, yada. And then I kind of looked at like the only reason why you go to the Middle East as a finance guy is to make a whole shit ton of money. Like, there's literally no other reason, right? Like, I came to Hong Kong because I have some kind of like family reasons and connections and whatever to want to be here. If I go to like Dubai or Qatar or Saudi or whatever, it's literally just for bucks. Okay, so you can kind of, which actually really simplifies it in a way, because
it's on the
positive side of the ledger, it's just money, right? So you don't have to like price abstract things against abstract things. Like that kind of had to do with like Toronto versus Hong Kong. It would just be like money versus annoyance. And then,
well, yeah, like, and they know it too.
They know it, yeah. They have to know it. I think they're, but I think most of the time they're poaching. They're mostly poaching people from like, you know, Canada or Europe where you have super high tax rates. Americans are less easily poachable because of the global taxation. But then, okay, I looked at my own sort of like balance sheet, my own net worth. I did all the projections, right? If I stay here versus if I were to go to this hypothetical opportunity, you know, how much further ahead am I in 4 years? Because I think, you know, I can only do this for like 3-4 years. I can only do that for 3-4 years. Kids grow up and whatever. And it was just like, they have to pay me so much fucking more to make it worth it. Like, yeah. it just does not matter. And I actually kind of, you know, I was just assessing that question. How much more do I have to get paid? And then I looked at the numbers and I ended up in a place where I was like, holy shit, I need to find something else to do, because I can see from where I am, like, I can see a path through to my medium term goals. I came to Hong Kong with a goal of, okay, get the PR thing, make enough money that I'm kind of financially stable. And I can basically see, okay, so PR will take another 6 years, but from the financial part, like, I can see from here to the end, right? And there's a very, very realistic path where we're done in 2 years, or we're doneable, right? But then I literally have no plan for what to do next. Literally none. And I'll be at a point where, like, whatever I make at work is kind of irrelevant. And it's going to be, like, in a couple of years, it's going to be almost irrelevant.
Let me say this as the man child of the group, because I am I am not married, I have no children.
Yeah.
And the last, and I'm not even dating right now. I'm fucking vol cell, okay? As a child, dude, it would be super weird if I was born in Canada, went to Hong Kong when I was like, I don't know, 8 or 9 or whatever. And then I went to fucking Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Or whatever, wherever you're going.
Qatar, which is like a appendage of Saudi Arabia.
Sure. Gulf.
To be clear, like, we're far away, like, from this happening. Right. So.
Yeah. That, no, but I mean.
But it's a hypothetical.
This is all hypothetical.
Yeah.
Dude. That would honestly be a very fucked up thing.
It would be. No, I get it. Like, I, it's.
Wait, why is it fucked up?
Dude, because
kids don't want that
instability. Guys, I remember when I was 12. I remember when I was 6. I remember when I was 3. What's your earliest memory?
No. But I'm assuming he's not moving them there.
No. This hypothetical is just like
this is all hypothetical.
But no, what I'm saying is, I'm assuming if you were to do it, you would just do a. You would just move.
Yeah,
there
I would.
Yourself.
I would have to. I would have to be kids like flying stay. Back and forth a lot. The kids would stay home.
Okay. Well then. Yeah. Okay. Well then, daddy's gone.
Daddy's gone. Yeah. So then, daddy's you got like, that issue.
It's even worse, dude. That's even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, for a couple of years.
Yeah, it's even worse. Even for a couple of years, whatever.
Hmm.
You know,
that's funny. I see that as okay. If my dad, when I was a kid, if my dad was like, "Yo, I'm peacing out for 2 years, then I'll be back," I'll be like, "Cool, see ya." Bye, dad. I would have been totally fine with it.
Your
kids are probably different. I would have been if my mom left. You know. In fact, she asked me one time. She was thinking about leaving. And I was like, yo, that's devastating, Mom. But if my dad was like, I'm out, I'd be like, see ya, dude.
Sending
the checks? We're going to be, like, my life basically stays the same, but you're just not at home? He's like, yeah, I got to go for a couple years. I'd be like.
Yeah, the money's still here, right?
What? Yeah. I'd be like, Dad, I'm so sad to see you.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's going to be more the negative reaction.
I think, I mean, you have daughters too, right?
Yeah. So there's that dynamic
like,
as well.
It's not like a boy and his dad's leaving for a couple of days. It's a daughter.
Yeah.
It's a daughter daddy thing. Like, come on. Yeah.
Yeah.
My view on it is you have to factor in the money because like, dude, like you got, I think of money as time, right? So if let's say I hypothetically there's a job in Saudi Arabia, right, that pays you literally five times what it's paying you in Hong Kong, or four times, let's say, you know, if you factor in everything. You know, you're working at 4x the pace. So you're buying time back because ahead monetarily at 4x the pace.
Yeah,
so
I
work 2 years and then come back and not work. You're 8 years ahead in the future. You have 6 years to just fucking coast now, is how I view it. You know?
Yeah, like obviously there's some number where it's worth it, clearly.
Yeah.
Right? But I think the problem is like if you like okay, what's the point you gotta get to? Right? And how many years do you have to do? So I think like if it's a trade off of I gotta be away from the kids for 4 years and then I'll get to X versus
what if it was 4 years and you could literally just kind of work optional at that point?
Yeah, but that's okay. So this is the thing. Like when I was doing the numbers, right? In 4 years, just hanging out here in Hong Kong, I'm gonna be there.
Well then, fucking very stay, dude.
Very high likelihood. No, that's why I was pricing this out. Like they gotta pay me like I'll be straight. Like I think they gotta pay me like at least $2 million a year for this to work, for this to even remotely be worth it.
That's what I'm saying. There's gotta be a number. Yeah.
There's just gotta be a number. High, I'm like $2 million. Like I will consider it.
Yeah.
Right. Like I won't necessarily do it.
Yeah, but what does that even?
What will I do like? With that at the end?
No. Like, can you tell these guys, hey, like, put it into an escrow? Like, how do you even know what's going to happen in a year or two?
Oh, no. I've already kind of mentally gone through this. It would have to be like ironclad London law. Yeah. Like, this is coming. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
It would have to be signed and sealed and I'm done. Because I would be done. But then I'm also like I could just hang out here and it wouldn't like the extra money wouldn't make that big of a difference. Honestly, it wouldn't make that big of a difference. So that, like that's how I caught from thinking about this hypothetical to like, holy shit, even without this hypothetical, I gotta start thinking about like what the hell I'm doing next. Cause I don't think I can just like I'm, I don't, I think I took a very kind of stable path, right? Like everything that I've been doing has been trying to risk manage my way to this outcome. And now that I can see the path from here to the end of the outcome, I'm like, oh shit, what now? I don't have an answer for that.
Well, yeah, this is, I mean, this is basically your midlife crisis. Should I
go? Yes.
Should I go to the Gulf?
Yeah. Like I need something else to do.
I need something else to do. You know that's how it else. Is when you hit 40 and you got to decide whether. All right. We had a bunch of fucking tech issues again. But anyway, where did we leave off?
Midlife crisis.
Go to Saudi Arabia.
What?
Do I go to Saudi? Yeah. But, that's a very fucking unique midlife crisis, bro.
But that's not the solution to it.
Of course not.
That's the thing. It's like that is not the solution to it. That is actually, I think, almost an exacerbation.
Look, as
of it,
as a,
in a way,
as the token single guy. Let me tell you something. Getting a fucking big ass check does not change a goddamn thing. Okay.
Why doesn't it change a thing?
I mean, if you're already making money, okay, obviously. It's not like you were poor and you won the lottery. But if you get a check for $10 million, dude, the next day, you're still you.
But it depends. Yeah, you're still you, but it depends, right? Like on how much money you got. Like if you didn't have any money,
yeah, so
you didn't have enough. $10 million does change your life, you know.
No, I'm saying if you already were making a good amount of money, like you've basically set up your life how you wanted it to be at whatever age you are. If you get a fucking check for $10 million, It's really not going to, dude, it's not going to do anything.
I think it absolutely does everything. Yeah, first of all, it severely cuts down or eliminates your need to work, which is life-changing. And it allows you to build up a set of assets that you can create, that you can set aside as legacy for your children, which is also life-changing.
Okay, but we're talking about this guy right here, okay? He's already.
He's a working stiff. He's got to show up to work. If he doesn't work,
sure,
it's not good. So what I'm saying is if $10 million dropped in his lap, it would change his life because...
Not real. What would he do? What would he do different?
He could not work.
He could already... This motherfucker can already not work.
I don't think so. I think you got to work.
No, that's all in his head, dude. It's all in his head.
For the lifestyle that he wants to provide his kids?
What lifestyle?
Going to private school in Hong Kong?
Yeah, you could already do that. You could.
I think we can. Yeah.
Why are you working?
We're actually.
Yeah, you hate your
why
job.
Why am I working? No, I'm actually.
No,
quite
he just
okay
likes to complain. Me too.
So you're saying you don't need to work? You're wealthy enough now that it's work optional.
Mathematically.
See, you hear that? Yeah, mathematically?
What does that mean?
Mathematically? Like, this is my job. This is my job. My job is literally managing finances.
Yeah. You fucking...
And on my professional opinion is that I probably don't
really
work, but it's
so
better.
So why don't you just start a hedge fund or something? Like, just do something more than going through
I've
job.
Pondered that.
Dude, mathematically had enough money to not work forever, I would mathematically quit my job.
Because the making is still sufficiently good and low stress that I kind of am running my own little family hedge fund on the side.
Well, yeah, no.
Literally on the side of my desk at work.
Did you guys notice that everyone has to run their own little fucking mini hedge fund now? Like
exactly.
That's how it works,
yeah,
dude.
That's how it works. That's how it works. But you know, I can go from mathematically fine to like really, really fine in 3 to 4 years. right? So I'm just buffering.
Yep. Yeah, but that's...
And there are some perks to the job, and I also don't want to be like hanging around at home, right? So but that's my point, right? Like, whether I'm there right now or I will be there, the point is I can see from here to there, and it's within sight. And taking some even double, triple paying job in the Middle East doesn't dramatically change that. It accelerates things a little bit more and makes you a little bit more mathematically safe. You are still left with the problem at the end of the day of, okay, now you're there. Now what? I don't have an answer to that question.
Dude, there is no answer to that question. That question is perpetual. Let's say you make $1 billion a year. Is that gonna like solve any of your personal problems? Probably not.
No, I would develop a whole bunch more problems on the way from here to a billion, right? So, but this is a classic midlife crisis.
Yeah, I know. I'm going through it too.
What's the crisis?
You turn 40 and look, finances are no longer like a massive problem. You know, like it is for most people. You're comfortable. You're
materially comfortable.
You're materially comfortable. You don't have any fucking problem paying rent or whatever. And then what do you do? I don't know.
I'm older than you motherfuckers. I think.
By like what? Like 4 years?
Yeah. I'm 4 years deeper into the process. And I would say I think the thing about it is that it's like historically contingent in a way. Like, it kind of depends on what the out world's situation is. And so I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit. We were just talking about this before you hopped on, dude. But like, I think there is like reason to worry, at least, about the state of the world, right? Meaning, and I don't know what that means other than like whatever the fuck the system is now. Like, I don't know how smooth running it's going to be in like the near to medium term. And so my feeling is like the ability for me to show up and make money the way I do, which is like, in my opinion, like the most leveraged I've ever been between compensation and effort. It's nice. I'm in a nice spot. It's not going to last forever. The way I'm thinking of it now is just like, dude, whatever low hanging fruit there is left, I'm going to pick it, because the feeling that in 5 to 10 years, that the situation, in my opinion, will be dramatically different than it is right now. I got to keep that in my head, because that's actually the majority opinion now. If you look at sort of like expert discussions on stuff, I'm not saying that means that they're right, but I think it's actually a contrarian and it's kind of a contrarian against the wisdom of the crowds now to say 5 and 10 years, it's just going to be more like this, you know? So I guess my thinking is like, I don't set aside the material question as like solved. I mean, maybe I don't have as much money, and maybe that's the reason. But like, I think I too probably, because I have like a much reduced set of liabilities compared to you, Steve. Is like, I think work is optional too, and I don't feel particularly. Therefore, I don't feel particularly like motivated or stuff. But like, if it's easy to pick, I'm going to take.
You also don't have the. You also don't have the trade off of.
I'm not going
like,
to
obviously if yeah, well, no. This is the thing. It's like, obviously if someone's going to pay me like, you know, $3 million, I would go to $4 million dollars in Hong Kong. Be like,
if it's 3 or 4
okay,
million, I'm going. I'm going to work for one year and then that's it.
Yeah, of course.
It'll be a one year money grab.
Yeah. But like, I have to, you have like, essentially just having kids gives you more constraints, right?
Kids are kind of bottomless because like you could give them all your money.
It's not even that right now. Like I can't, one thing I can, you know, frame in terms of what are the tasks that I want to complete and how close am I to completing them. One of the ones that I do want to complete and I haven't is raising my kids. Right. So you still have to kind of like do that, which is very much a time and energy thing. But I can see, but also I can see the path to that too. It's you know, the kids are getting older, and within 10 years they're going to be out of the house.
You should run your own fund, dude. I'll invest.
I already am. It's just like kind of scattered. Mm. I swear to God, like I work and then I come home and I do my own shit, and it's just this endless cycle. That's why, like, actually, this past year I've only gotten like 6.5 hours of sleep a night because of this. Because Hong Kong's a terrible time zone for trading.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Just terrible, terrible, especially right now because it's 13 hours to New York. But,
How's that even possible?
10:30, okay.
12 was the maximum. Is it 12
11 the other way?
We're on opposite sides of the earth, and now it's like 13?
No, it's Friday night, 10:30 p.m. I'm like, time to sign on. Time to sign on. Market's opening. Let's go. I got to find, you know, I got to like find something to do. I got to find a plan. I'll find a plan. I don't know. Like, I think in no small part, this is a issue of boredom. Could I grind out another 10 years in my job? Probably. Would I enjoy it? No.
All right.
I would not enjoy it.
Look, dude. I think.
Go to Cayman, open a fund.
Yeah, yes. I think there's this is really just a fork in the road, right? There's only two outcomes here. Okay. It doesn't matter if you work in the Gulf or China or wherever the fuck. You're going to be working. You're going to be dealing with this. You're going to be asking yourself, why the fuck am I up on Friday night looking at numbers on a screen? Or you could go the entrepreneur route, and that's, you know, in your industry, that means starting a fund, right? Like, I think it's either one or the other, buddy. Like, you can't, I don't really think, you know, you're not,
you just got to pick a route.
You got to pick a route and commit. You can't route, whatever. Fucking Canadian. You can't like you're comparing two things that are not actually different. If you're just like, should I go work for these people over in here?
Yeah, no, I know.
Or should I go work for these people over here? And my life is literally just going to be whether I stay in Hong Kong all day or all week, or like if I get on a plane. Like that's not actually a difference. You know what I mean? Like,
unless there's a difference in money.
Yeah.
No, not dude. How much are they? How much could they possibly fucking pay?
Probably not enough. But I'm just saying.
How much could they possibly fucking give you?
That's my point. It's entirely dependent on how much they could possibly give you.
Yeah, but
I'm not advocating that you go to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I'm just making the simple point that to me, I reduce all of these.
There is a
it's
number.
It's just a number. I don't give a shit. I don't care about entrepreneurialism versus wage cuckery. I don't give a shit. Dude. If it's money, it's money.
Okay, but
entrepreneurialism
let me ask you,
that loses money like, to me is worthless entrepreneurialism. If it makes me money, it's great. Wage cuckery cuckery that pays a lot of money.
Somebody that's begging the question. Like, yeah, of course, obviously, if you make a bunch of money, it's always great. But
yeah,
I mean,
what are you going
to
do?
Because like, I just see it as
buying somebody
money,
drops $20 million in your lap right now, team. What are you going
to
do with
it tomorrow?
The
whole point to me is just to get to a place where work is optional. You could continue working. You could quit working. But the point is that it changes. The reason I say that is because everything you do at the work optional point is completely your own choice.
And what I'm saying is work is already optional for this motherfucker, dude. It's just in his mind he has to work. Okay, so what are you going to do? In his mind, he has to work, okay?
We're going to manage through this crisis.
I guess, I mean, I kind of relate to that. But
You think this motherfucker is going to wake up tomorrow and like not have enough money for whatever? No.
No, but like, I kind of relate because I'm just so fucking I, you know, I'm just so, it's so ingrained in my head that that's obviously what you have to do. You just have to, like, why would you not work?
Yes, it's in your mind. It's in your mind.
Well, a lot of shit is in your mind. That's fine.
Yes.
There's nothing, yes. There's nothing wrong with things being in your mind. It's not my habit of wanting to work. That's the problem. What I'm saying is that the way I think of it now is like, it would be nice to have this problem in the future of, should I continue to make money in an easy way and show up to work in the morning, or should I not? I feel like that issue is going to be fucking resolved for me to the negative in the future. Meaning, like, it's not always going to be this easy to take these fucking corporate jobs that overpay you, frankly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That's probably fair.
So you want
a bigger buffer.
And it's not going to be around forever. And so I don't have a crisis about it because I'm like, I don't think I'm going to have this forever. So I appreciate the fact that I have it now. That's my point. That's all.
So you're just buffering.
At the end of the day, I think we're all fucking buffering, dude.
No, I understand that.
I think people who are in the higher income brackets, it's completely unjustified.
I'm buffering.
I'm not. I'm not.
You're not what?
I'm not buffering. I'm not doing.
He's not buffering right now.
No.
You buffered. You buffered a lot.
You took a different route to having chunky buffers.
Guys. Let's get something straight here. Both of you have more money than I do. Okay.
I doubt that. Aren't you able to parlay that into gains? You know, like, you are making.
Hold on. Kids crying. Hold on. Dad mode. We'll continue this.
But you're buffering. We also have not me, but he has much greater expenses than you. But he's also probably the one that's ahead of everyone.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He has more. He will eat away at that buffer faster.
Look. I don't. All I can say is, if you choose to work, you don't always have to go for the biggest paycheck. That's all I'm saying. Like. Factor in your actual life at maybe an 80% weight, and the actual money, because you have money and you're gonna make more money while working, I think that should only be like a 20% weight. 0.2.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
I think, you know, maybe just kind of jumping back in on this, like, said in another way. If I were to change jobs, right, there's two ways for that to happen. One is, it has to be a shit ton more money. Or number two, maybe much more likely, it has to be a lot more interesting, right, or something that I kind of like want to do a lot more, and I'm willing to do that for like a lot less, right? Not like, I don't see myself taking the same, like, a samey job for a 25% raise, right? It's kind of like, whatever.
I mean,
I think there's a qualitative change that has to occur.
Next year, I have to make a kind of decision, because I think if I stay at the law firm, my earning gearing might be up to 2x what it would be if I did sort of like consulting type work. I would make about 2x the clip. I don't know what it is after taxes, but in my mind, it's like, I make a choice based on comp, not, you know, because I'm like, my timeline here, I don't know what realistically or not, but I think about this in like 2-year chunks. And I think if I go that route, I'm going to make half the money I make going the other route. And so quality of life and what I'm doing is not of huge concern to me at that moment. Cause one, I'm talking about a 2-year chunk, and two, like,
But your life doesn't really change around that very much, right? Like, you're still just, you're a lawyer
in New
York.
Can I just talk some shit right now? Like, this 2-year chunk thing, that's like resume thinking.
Why?
Like CV thinking.
Why? Why is
like,
it?
Like, oh, I should have a job on my resume.
No, I'm not thinking about that.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
Because 2 year chunk is like, oh well, I should have this on my resume for at least 2 years. No, otherwise,
it's not. I should earn. The reason I say 2 year chunk is because I don't know how much more I want to work after I turn 50, and I'm 46. So I'm thinking about this in terms of money.
Okay.
I literally don't give a shit about my resume. I haven't updated my LinkedIn since 2013.
Okay. Yeah, but you, dude, if you really don't give a shit, maybe you, I mean, guys, like, this, how do I put this? You guys should become entrepreneurs if you really want to, if you really want to fucking think about this shit really hard. Okay.
Why? I have no entrepreneurial skills or spirit, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't want to own my own business. It sounds fucking hard, and I'm not, don't have the mind for it or interest.
Yeah, but you don't actually. Okay. I'm going to come back to what I was just saying the other day or the other 10 minutes ago. If you are dealing with these quests, like professional, what am I going to do with my fucking career questions? That means you want to start some kind of entrepreneurial enterprise. Okay.
Not me, but yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah.
I really don't. I honestly don't. If I did, I would tell you.
You're going to deny it.
Why would I deny it? If I had an interest in that, I would say it. I'm not in denial about it. Let's put it this way. I'm open to the idea that in the future, when I'm not doing wage work, if I saw a cool opportunity, I would be interested, but I'm not, I see no such opportunity at the moment. I'm open. My mind is open to it. I just don't.
Bro, I'm going to flip into fucking shill mode here. Those opportunities are literally hitting you in the face every single day.
I'm sure they are, but none of them have made me open, there's nothing that, especially here in my current situation in New York City or whatever, first of all, I would not want to start a business in New York City.
Well,
hell no.
Okay. Yeah, maybe, probably not. There's a lot of taxes involved.
Yeah, exactly. But
somebody like Steve, okay, getting the next job that pays you 2x is, dude, you're gonna get the job and then you're gonna be sitting in your, in this fucking.
I'm not advocating for him to take the job. I'm advocating that he start the hedge fund.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. When you start a hedge fund, you are becoming an entrepreneur. And let me tell you
that's
something.
That's him, not me.
Yeah, I know. I'm not talking at you. Mm-hmm. I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is the only dude, this fucking like we're just talking about work here, okay? We're just talking about like work. If you have this kind of angst, okay, about your job, and you're like, oh, should I move around the world to make marginally more money? And by marginal, I mean less than 10x what you're making. What you're actually thinking about is fuck this system that I work in. I could just do a lateral move and make a little bit more money. But what's going on in your head is fuck all this. I want to do my own thing. I don't want to answer to a fucking boss, etc. Okay. So yes, you should start a fund. You're in the fucking place where you're in a place where you can actually do that. It's like feasible. Okay, you can raise money or whatever, and the only thing that's gonna cure this angst is doing that. But then I can just tell you it'll also just open up a whole new world of angst. it'll introduce to you pains that you will have never even fucking imagined, but also at the same time, it will answer the question of should I take this other job? Like, dude, like as somebody who's like that, should I take this other job? It seems like such a fucking stupid.
It's a lame question,
dude. Yeah, it's no, super I lame.
It.
Okay,
I get it.
It's
I get
just
it.
Super
we
lame.
I get it. And I think that's kind of where I landed after looking at this. Was like the question changed from would I hypothetically take this other job to what do I actually want? Like a much broader, bigger question, right? Like what do I want the second half of life to look like? And then kind of try and work backwards to how do I operationalize that, right? Freed from like, or at least very likely to be freed from, you know, one major constraint within the next 2 to 3 years or 4 years or something like that, right? Like there's a barring a unmitigated disaster, there's a path from here to that, I guess, freedom, if you want to call it that. But the problem is I literally don't know what I want to do, right? Whether that's starting a fund or not. I know I'm going to be running my own shit. Whether I formalize that into a fund, go through the whole of rigmarole of marketing and fundraising, all that I don't know if I want to do that yet. I literally don't know. I don't like, maybe I just want to bugger off into the woods and live like Walden. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It's kind of binary,
that out,
right? Like you either just do nothing or look, basically what I'm saying is you either just retire. Okay, and just manage your own money and whatever. Or you go whole hog. Like, I don't, like, dude, like,
yeah,
like going,
no,
like,
I know.
Oh, should I take this job or the other job?
It's too lame. It's not a big enough change to me.
It's stupid unless it's like, it's literally like millions.
They're not going to pay him enough, dude.
I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that the framing of, should I take this job or not is stupid. It's entirely dependent on what we're talking about. You gotta, you know, if it's a lot of fucking money,
they're not going to pay them enough money for that to be, they're not,
no, it's
not,
not
talking
it's not
about
be,
the specific choice, dude. I'm saying that underlining all of this fucking discussion about entrepreneurialism versus taking a job versus this, it's just money. It's just about money. And so my,
no, dude, it's,
it is, and
no, it's about what are you actually going to
do? No, it's not. It's about what you're actually going to do for money,
bro. No, it's not.
You're saying there's a spiritual aspect.
I'm telling you, it's not.
Teen, let me ask you this. Like when you put out the number 50 yes. after you 50, you don't want to work that much, right? Like, what are you going to do after you 50?
I'm just going to live my life, man. Life is contingent. I don't have a fucking plan. But you know what? I have no plan right now, and my life is fine. I'm having fun. I'm doing whatever.
So you just, it's like if somebody just drops you, you know, $10 million on your 50th birthday,
yeah,
and you're like, I'm done. Okay. And then next day, like you literally have no sense of.
I don't have a plan. That doesn't mean I don't know what I'm doing. I have things that I need to. Look, here's my point, dude. Is like. First half of life is very much about what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? What am I going to, like, what are my plans? What are my goals? You get to the second half of life, I know what my fucking goal is. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. Like, second half of life becomes dealing with, it's not funny. That's you, like, think you're going to watch your parents fucking die.
That's so, what I'm saying.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
We're all
so what my point is my reaction to this is not, oh my God, I'm going to die. What am I going to do with the remaining time that I have or whatever? You know, you start realizing like, holy shit, like life is still coming at me. It's coming at me even faster than when I was a kid. And the amount of control that I can exert over it is minuscule. I'll be busy just reacting to shit that happens to me. I don't have a, you know, like fucking life has a plan for me, dude. I don't need to go out there and lay out a fucking bullet point plan. I have to react to shit that's happening all the time. Someone like their problems. It's not all, and it's not all just problems. Like I agree. Like Steve, like when you say, for example, opportunities coming at me all the time, well, so are problems. They're both coming at us all the time. And it's a matter of, you know, like, you know, react, like selecting the opportunities and reacting to the problems. But what I don't see is that I need to come up with some grand fucking plan to get me from here, point A to here, point B, well-defined goal. I'm like, dude, point B's already fucking set, dude. You know what I mean? Like, so I guess my point is, like, I understand this, like, I think what happens, okay, here's my point. I think the, quote, midlife crisis is basically you throw a rock in the air and it's in denial. It thinks that it's just levitating there and now it needs to figure out where to go. I'm like, dude, you're coming back down. And there is a point at the apogee where you kind of feel weightless and you're like, what do I do with all this freedom? You know, like, what do I do with, like, where do I go from here? You know, it's, and then, but the reality is, like, there's not much, the freedom does not mean control. And I feel
anything.
You
never control anything.
Yeah, you have freedom, but you don't control anything. And so I just get the feeling, dude, like, I think that there is a cultural obsession with shaping our own lives and shaping our destiny, where right now I kind of just feel much more humble about the whole thing, where I'm like, dude, so much shit happens to you. You know, like, life does not ignore you. When you say, and I totally understand what you're saying when you said there's opportunities literally hitting me in the face all the time. I agree. It's just a question of, like, are you going to open your eyes to it and pursue it? But, you know, at the same time, problems are fucking hitting you in the face all the time. And it's a question of, are you going to open your eyes to the problem and address those problems? And so my point is that I'm very comfortable not having a plan, because there's more shit to deal with already, even without a plan. I had a big fucking plan to that, and it's just like, that's too much.
Yeah, everything you said is true, but what I'm saying here and now is, just as somebody who's gone another route, let's say, like
the starting of running your own business route.
Running your own business and, you know, doing that thing for a while. When I hear somebody like, should I take this job or the other job? Like, it's all this. It just is literally the fucking same thing. Like it's just the same shit, different day. Okay. If you really have a fucking crisis of, like, work and you want to work, even though you don't technically
No. So you're saying, okay, no. We're talking, like, about two different things. You're saying that picking a different job will not address issues of, like purpose and goals, and you know, like, it's just a fucking job. Yeah, I agree.
All the shit that's jumbling around in your head, you know, because of, like, should I take this job or the other job? 100%. They'll pay me marginally more.
Yeah,
like, we're not talking about 10x here. Okay,
my point only was limited to this. Is, like, if I'm already saying that I'm just wage cucking until this point. That's okay. That's my goal, right? Like, that's my fucking plan. If I'm just wage cucking to this point, then if I get paid 2x, that point gets half the distance. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
I mean, but honestly, 2x is it. No, it's not. It's more like 75% or 25% closer.
I mean, whatever it is, I'm just saying, like,
I mean, if you
look at the difference in pay, you look at the difference in effort and burden, and then you say, okay, I'm just going to get to this point this much faster. Is it worth it to me? It's not a deep question. It's just a question of
effort and burden, dude. Like,
not that's too much burden. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just saying, for me, let's say, if I'm in my situation, I'm like, do I bill $2,000 an hour at the firm and make 2x, or do I kind of, like, take it easy, but then have to work twice as long? That's it. Do I pace myself for sprint?
To that, I will say, if you wake up in the morning and then you feel the drive to go to work, the effort and burden, that's kind of a meaningless thing. Okay. It doesn't really matter how much effort you're giving.
Building 2,000 an hour, 2,000 a year. It matters. It depends what time you're going to get home. And it's a matter of like...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're going to work your fucking ass off no matter what. So it's going...
No, if I earn half the pay, it's not like that. It's like much easier.
What?
If I take a consulting,
gig,
it's much easier.
You know, part of me wonders if this is if you like you kind of feel this way because it's because you know being a lawyer is a billable hour thing.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just saying. There's a linear gearing to this. Higher comp requires more intense effort, and if you can make less comp with less intense effort. And so it's a question of whether you're running for distance or whether you're sprinting.
Most people don't have that directive.
This sounds like just high level wage cucking to me. Like,
correct. I'm not saying it's anything more than that. It's high level wage cucking. You know, the thing is, I'm just saying this stuff.
You're and
it's
wake
like,
up
it's not addressing big issues, dude. I'm just saying, it's simply in the domain of how much
optimizing
wage
the wage cucking
do. Like, yeah, it's just a linear trade-off.
If you even have it in you to wage cook like that, like to wake up and like, oh.
You mean fucking 90% of working people? Yeah. Most people are just
Yes, exactly. Yeah, sure. If you even have it in you to wake the fuck up, pour your coffee while thinking about work, eat your, or maybe even skip breakfast while you're thinking about work.
What should I do?
Yeah, you... I mean, you flirted. We've talked about this on other pods. You flirted with the idea of being non W-2, non.
I did that. Flirted with the idea I was doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You live that life, but can you not see how you can just go one step further, just one step further, and turn that into a fucking 10x or 100x income. Like if we're talking about making money here, okay, you can just take the risk of not having a paycheck, and then you can flip that into 10x or 100x, whatever the fuck you thought you were going to make as a wage cook.
Maybe you have the vision of entrepreneurialism that I don't. But I do not see a 10x or 100x opportunity floating around right in front of my eyes.
What? In fucking law? What? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Of course. What?
There's them.
How do you not see it?
Because I don't look for it, and whatever it is, it's probably bullshit.
Bro, you live in New York City. Every time you go to the fucking bar, there's going to be somebody with a legal problem.
I'm not... starting my own firm now? Fuck that shit, dude. No, hell no. You'll make a lot more money wage cucking in law than starting your own firm, dude. Do you know
I don't. I don't believe that. That's a limiting belief. What are you talking about?
I think. I'm just saying that it's a profession. It's a guild. The rules.
Yes, it's a guild. It's a gilded. The rules. It's a gilded profession. Yes.
No. It's guild, like GUILD.
It's a gilded profession. It's a guild.
It kind of is.
You have a fucking limited supply of fucking you, dude. How can you not turn that into fucking shitloads of money, millions and millions of dollars?
There's only one way to make millions and millions of dollars as a lawyer. It's to become a partner at a firm that has a platform that allows you to bill at $2,300 an hour. We sell our time in units.
I've seen the invoices, many of them.
Yes, it's not the same as other businesses. We just sell chunks of our time.
That is actually the same as every business.
No, it's not. It's not.
Well, that's
not. Bro.
But law does not.
Oh, really, you think you're special because you're like, no, you're not, actually, dude. Come on.
What is that about? It's a simple business fucking reality. Law, you bill your time, that you're selling literal units of your time. It doesn't matter what you do with that time. The unit of time is paid for. In other businesses, you could scale massively. That's the whole genius of tech.
There are lawyers out there who do not operate on that model. I don't know, dude. Like, who are the people who do the class action lawsuits who email me and fucking send me shitty things in the mail?
If the opportunity is to join a class action law firm, it's like hell.
This is just an example. I'm just saying those guys are not my industry.
I know how it works. It's not because I'm a wage cuck and I'm blind and I don't know how things work and I don't want to pursue the ultimate goal. I know how my industry works. It's very simple. Okay, you bill your fucking time, or you get paid a regular W-2 as an in-house employee, and that's it. That's all there really is. If a lawyer in my position wanted to go 10x or 100x, you have to leave the law and you have to join the fucking startup world. There's no VC money going into law firms, dude, and there's no IPOs of law firms. There's no acquisitions of law firms. That's not how it works. The tech world is completely different. It's a completely
different. No. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do any of that.
You got to become Judge Judy.
Judge Judy was, like, I think, the highest paid legal professional in the country for many years.
Yeah.
I mean, she was off the charts higher paid than any.
That's a bit of a twist in law.
Yeah, look, guys, I'm just pushing for entrepreneurialism because that's what I did.
Yes, exactly.
And I think. If you're dealing with Teen, obviously everything you said is absolutely true. Okay, I'm not stupid. I'm not a dummy. All right. That is totally true. All of that stuff you said about the dynamics of firms and lawyers and partners and all that stuff. But if you're like money guy over here, okay? If you're like money guy and you're like, "Oh, you know, I'll say it again. If you're just like, oh, should I take this job or the other job and I won't see my family?" Dude, that new job is not gonna solve any of this shit, okay? It's just going to be a marginally higher number. And you're still going to be asking these stupid questions in your Emirates, you know, like first class little fucking cabin or whatever when you're flying from Hong Kong to fucking Abu Dhabi, okay? Like, it's you're just gonna be asking yourself, "Well, what am I doing?
Okay, but you have to make
a major change if you want to actually answer these questions. If not, whatever, go to fucking, you know, go to Abu Dhabi and then go drinking in fucking Oman or wherever the fuck they wherever the fuck they allow alcohol.
But to that, my point is that entrepreneurialism, so the idea is wage cuckery is stupid. If you really want to make a change, you got to go into entrepreneurialism, to which I say, I don't really see the difference, because entrepreneurialism to me is like, it's just a different form of working, right? It's instead of wage cuck, I have equity in the startup that I'm a part of.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
That's the whole difference. But my point is that it's simply an economic distinction, right? We're talking about the way in which your compensation structure is going to work for you. And you're saying the advantage to entrepreneurialism. I don't buy the idea that entrepreneurialism buys you freedom and your own boss.
No, it doesn't. No, you have ten different bosses.
Right, exactly. So the point of this is simply a matter of economic risk versus payoff. That's what it is. Okay. What I'm saying is, to the extent that people are talking about the problem of purpose and meaning, it has nothing. My point is, it has nothing to fucking do with entrepreneurialism versus wage cucking. That's not the issue, because that's just entirely within the realm of money.
It's like that entrepreneurialism versus W-2 is downstream of determining what they want first.
And we're talking about money here. Yes. Like,
and the only my point is that entrepreneurialism and goal setting and all that stuff is really like, it is about controlling things.
We're talking about money, but like,
Hold on.
Maybe you should take some yoga classes, dude.
Fucking hear me out. My point is that.
Point
is that issues of purpose and meaning or all that shit require a completely different hand than the kind of effort that goes into making money. That's my point. They're separate domains.
Okay, but
my point is like, look, I used to talk to myself this way, which is sort of beat myself up over like, dude, what are you complaining about? What do you have to, you know, like fucking get out there and just fucking take. But I'm like, dude, there's no humility in that. And the problem with a lot of the purpose and meaning type domain questions is the problem is that we become pretty hubristic and arrogant by the time we're 40 years old. And the hardest part for me was to learn some fucking humility because there's a lot of shit. I realize it's not a matter of my goal or my desire or my vision. It's just the fact that I'm just a human being and I only have limited time on this planet. And in that meantime, there's also going to be a lot of other shit I don't control that happens that I've got to deal with. So
okay, then
that's my whole point is just humility.
In that case, yeah. Do not take the fucking job in the Gulf. Stay in Hong Kong. Spend more time with your family. Done. That's it.
Maybe yeah.
Right.
Fine. But
like, if we're not talking about money, then we're talking about actual life. Take some fucking yoga classes. Don't spend as much time at work. I can spend more time with your kids and your wife.
Yeah.
Okay. Take more vacations like that. Okay. Great.
Yeah, but it's a complete. That's my point. I know because what you're doing is you're how do I say this? Trivializing the operational impact of like having a different mindset. And I agree. The thing is that it doesn't really. And for me, anyway, I realize I'm like I don't actually have to make big changes in my life because. It's really like my mindset. That's the thing that's changing. That's it. And so okay, does it show up? You're saying, where's the evidence of this change? Like, okay, if that's your viewpoint, then just fucking stop complaining and just keep doing. And that's exactly what I'm saying. I don't complain anymore. It doesn't bother me. I don't have, you know, because
yeah, but
I'm just thankful, dude. Honestly, the humility that I've had to adopt as an older, clearly second half of my life type person, I'm just fucking thankful that I even have a job. I'm thankful that I get paid at the level I do and that I don't have to scrounge around the way I see people around me scrounging around for. I'm thankful for that shit. And so I'm not frustrated. I'm not unhappy. I'm just fucking thankful. And my way of planning is just to see, like, if I still have access to, you know, really well-remunerated work on a relative scale, and I see like how easy my life is compared to some people around me and my neighbors and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just fucking thankful. I'm just, you know, I'm like, I am privileged to have that. And so,
that's great.
You know, that's it.
No, I obviously do not disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
Then, but we're talking about Steve here and then he should.
Then he should
just not change a fucking thing and just be thankful and
you know it's so funny because and wake up in the morning on his left and you're on his right and he's in the middle.
I think you guys are
do your gratitude affirmations in the morning, do a little journaling, okay, and yeah. Drink your tea, do your yoga, and just be thankful.
I can't tell you. I think it has. I think.
Come on, dude.
I think that we okay. If I'm being honest, I think we live in a culture that has made a complete mockery of the idea that one should seek internal balance and one should seek like a healthy mindset and a healthy relationship with the constraints in your life.
We have made a complete
mockery of that because the behavior that comes out of that and the mindset is, in my opinion, it's an older and more mature way of looking at the world, which is more fatalistic. But meaning, like, from the perspective of the younger self, my younger self, I would think that older people are weak and pathetic because they are surrendering.
They're not going right. for it anymore.
But you are a human being, and you are weak, and you will have to be forced to surrender and submit. And we hate. You're laughing, but look at your parents. You know, like, you realize, like, you get older and you lose.
Bro, I don't. I don't even have a job. I have surrendered and submitted. Okay.
Yeah, but
I don't have these questions about what job I should take and whether I should go.
This is the context.
To be fair,
dude. To be fair, though, I mean,
this is the context.
You have worried in the past about shit, like, what am I going to do? Because at some point I might have to go back to work. But sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, it's not without that. The pressures are not, you know, they're relevant to everyone, right? Like, at some point you're going to have to be, you know, people have to be like, dude, like, what sort of indignities am I willing to suffer to make more money?
Yeah.
You know?
That's exactly.
And here's the thing is, like, when you're young, you know, like, you avoid that framing and you're kind of like, how am I going to kick ass in the world? How am I going to grab the world and opportunity by the throat and choke it and squeeze the money that's rightfully mine out and get my purpose and all that stuff? And now I'm kind of like, you know, when I see young people, like, especially now, because it's such a fucking YOLO hustle culture and all this stuff. And I think a lot of this, like, young people and their YOLO crypto bullshit to me. And they're
whoa.
Shit. Oh my God. Whoa, guys. That's a deep part of me. What are you insulting my
What are you crypto? Oh, wow.
No, I'm actually just more impressed. Teen, I'm actually just more impressed that we made it to about 2 hours before crypto in any fashion has been mentioned.
I just look at
you. To be fair, I've only been here for 50 minutes.
This is the end of part one of a two-part podcast. We continue this podcast on part two, which is available on our Patreon feed. If you want to support Escape from Plan A, go to patreon.com/planamag to get access to bonus content and to our Discord.